Welcome to the podcast that teaches you how to transform your life and your business. Here is your host, Rick Hyland, and this is CI for Life.
Hey, welcome to another Continuous Improvement for Life podcast. I'm Rick Hyland. We're going to talk about effective one-on-ones today. There's a best practice out there that if you're a small to medium-sized business, you should be having regular one-on-ones for employee development to help them accelerate their goals, et cetera. And we're going to go into the details today of all that. In fact, I'm going to use my PowerPoint training deck for those of you who are watching on video. For those on podcast, don't worry, I'll explain the whole thing as we go. Let me just share a screen and I'll pull the, for the people that are watching it on video, you can see, but don't worry, podcasters, I'll lead you right through it. So as I mentioned, we're going to talk about effective one-on-ones today. A real best practice for employee development saves you as a manager and leader time and energy. Remember, our goal is to help you as a leader to accomplish your goals in less time and less stress. In order to do that, you need to have the right meeting cadence that we talked about two podcasts ago. And then secondly, you need to have the right cadence for one-on-ones. And I'm going to suggest a recommended practice and time and duration, but you can always modify depending on your business's complexity, where you are in the economic cycle, et cetera. So today we're going to talk about the purpose and benefit of having good one-on-ones, the timing of it, and then I'm going to share five simple steps to have an effective one-on-one to really leave your employee inspired, motivated, challenged, and then invite you at the end of this podcast to have, you can have a personal development session or personal action plan to improve. So the best practices on when and where and how long, usually it's every other week for an hour. Now, again, as I've mentioned, there's always exceptions and variations depending on complexity, growth, health of your business and the economy. But I'll just go along the regular lines that I would recommend if you're having good weeklies as a senior team or a department, that every week or every other week is probably fine. In fact, I would recommend every other week to really lean in and not just check in and not just see how your employee's doing, although that's great too, but really take the next step and help them develop strategic action plans to improve on their goals, their KPIs, their business plans. So every other week, 1 hour in length, could be shorter, could be, I've never seen them much longer than that, but leadership practice that you, principles that you practice inside of an effective one-on-one is positive recognition, empathy, action planning, directive coaching, and non-directive coaching. And I'll explain how and when to use both. The purpose of it is to help your employees improve their performance in less time and less stress, and subsequently you as well. Benefits of a good one-on-one, there's leadership development on both sides. People are calling for better succession planning. Well, a big part of that is having effective one-on-ones the way I'm going to describe them here today. They're actually a development or are having your people stand up and develop their thinking, critical thinking process, and how they understand their business. Ownership of the plan, if you do use some of the non-directive open-ended questions I'm going to suggest, your employees will have better ownership, better follow-up on the actions you do come up with. You'll see accelerated goal of accomplishment, improved problem solving. You don't have to be the expert in all. You can add your insights, obviously, but or feedback, but you don't have to be the expert. And this is a way to delegate. For those of you that are trying to figure out how to improve your delegation based on the podcasts we did two or three ago, those were some of our most popular ones. Here's another how in order to have good delegation is a good one-on-one. So five steps to have an effective one-on-one. I'll go through the five real quick, and then I'll go through each one in detail on a separate slide. So number one is to have a solid introduction. Please, 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 even if you're giving tough feedback, honor them, recognize them, show empathy. Nothing worse than a leader starting the one-on-one with just jumping into the problem at hand, trying to problem solve. Take time to honor where they're at. Recognize small incremental improvements, behaviors, results that you like. Honor those. Recognize those. And then select a topic or goal of the session. That's step number two. Step number three is explore the entire situation. Just ask good open-ended questions to figure out what's been going on, what's worked in the past, what hasn't. Develop some options with them so you can kind of expand critical thinking, not cut yourself too short. And then final fifth step is to action plan and ask them whether they're committed to work on based on your one-on-one today. So let's go through the five steps. First of all, as I've highlighted already, this is a great chance to practice your empathy skills. Hey, I know we're growing fast organization. You're a little bit under-resourced, but holy smokes, I've really been impressed with the quality of your meetings, your one-on-ones, your feedback, whatever it might be, or your store net performance score went up 2 points recently. And honor whatever you can, honor their busyness, honor their hard work, honor, recognize their small improvements. What a great way to start. Some people say, well, that's sandwiching because then you're going to go over a tough issue. Well, maybe, maybe not. But don't you find in your case, the people that honor you and understand you, you are willing to take more criticism and more development from? Isn't that a true fact? So practice that with your employees. Don't just jump into problem solving. This is maybe, if you want to set up this whole session in your relationship with, make deposits, honor them. It just jumping in and not seeing leaders that don't honor how busy their people are or how under-resourced they are and just jump into problem solving or a problem. You're not as effective as you could be. You know, the example I have here on the slide is, for example, I understand you've been working hard and have many priorities. I really appreciate how you worked with marketing and come up with a timely solution, blah, et cetera, right? Such an important step. Don't skip that. Please, leaders, you'll find that you'll have more deposits, more energy from your employees. They'll dread your one-on-ones less, and including some of the steps that I'll teach you here. So the next step, number two in our five-step process for effective one-on-ones is to select the topic or goal of the session. Now, it may be you're bringing it up. You've got some customer feedback or department feedback, and you're bringing the topic of the day, which is fine. Or you're asking them to bring the topic, which is also good. They've got an annual plan or quarterly priorities. Which one of the quarterly priorities do you want to work on today? Which one of your goals or KPIs do you want to continue to improve? Oh, I'm not sure. What's your biggest risk right now? Biggest worry? If they're not forthright and really bringing up substantive issues they want to work on, that's always a great question. What's your biggest worry, biggest risk right now? And those can be often be the topic of, okay, let's do a little mini coaching session on that. Or what areas do you want to improve? And then what you want to do once you've selected that topic, whether you've brought it, hey, we've got some customer feedback that didn't work, or your store wasn't as clean as it should have been, or I noticed in your area the lead generation has dropped off a little bit. Whether you're developing the topic or them, agree on what the topic is and then what's the goal for the session. What do you want to have accomplished by the end of this session as we discuss about one of your employees and their leadership development? Well, I'd have to answer, I'd like to have a bit of a plan on my next steps in their development, or a bit of a plan on the next steps on my KPI improvement, or my business plan quarterly priority improvement, right? Can you see how this can be very substantive after you've honored them and recognized them? Now you're jumping into a good meaty issue. Agree what that meaty issue is and agree what the outcome. And hopefully, generally, the outcome is always to develop an improvement plan on the particular topic you've led. Okay, so that's step two. Step three is probably the most important. Well, I've already said that about step one, haven't I? I tend to do that. You're exploring the current situation. Just like a good doctor, you don't just start prescribing, oh, I've seen this before, without asking your good open-ended diagnose first. Why do we do that? A, so that we're pinpointing what the exact problem is and what the solutions might be, but we're also honoring them. What have you worked on so far? What's the problems you've been having in this area? Who else has been involved? What's worked well in the past? What have you done already to solve some of the solutions? So just explore. Often some people call this explore the realities of the situation. Go wide, go deep, ask your good open-ended questions to try to listen, to understand, diagnose before you prescribe. This is so powerful, right? If you've recognized and showed empathy, and now you're showing interest to have them heard through your exploration questions, this really opens up people for effective change. But if you skip this and jump right into prescription, you will lose them potentially, and potentially the wrong solutions that you'll be building. That was kind of a Yoda statement, wasn't it? Ha. Okay. And then step number four is, okay, now that we've brainstormed what you've done, what you haven't done, now, okay, what do you see as some of the options that we might do to improve this goal area, this KPI area, this big risk that you see? And you start brainstorming options. You mentioned before, this might be an idea. Okay, capture that. Okay, what are other options? What are some of the pros and cons of these options if you have time to expand and explore each one? So what you're trying to set them up for is show critical thinking. Don't just jump on the first solution. Try to think through a couple of options, because maybe you need, there's a better one, a best answer to this with limited time. Or maybe you want to start actionizing a next step on each two or three of the ideas, but you're trying to explore options. This is also a time where you could be directive. And I like actually contracting, even though you're the leader. Do you mind if I share a few ideas or a few options or a few potential solutions I've seen work? This is a powerful, powerful spot to contract with them to add your ideas. I just had a great tour of, I'm an advisor and a shareholder to Cypress Five Star, which owns, among other things, the Canadian Five Guys stores, the burger chain, high-end burger chain, and some of the Blaze Pizza. And they own a few in Oregon and Washington as well, but primarily Canada at this point. And I toured some of their Vancouver stores, particularly the Robston store with Parjeet and Sarv. Big props to them. I learned, I saw so much in what I'm describing to you with their radical candor and their willing to recognize small improvements. Store, most retailers get really good KPI feedback on their customer service. And if you don't have good KPIs and regular daily, weekly, monthly KPIs on customer service, you're missing out. And Cypress and Five Guys has that in space. Super impressed with the number of KPIs they have, not just on revenue and profitability, but a lot of KPIs on customer success, customer feedback. And I saw Parjeet and Sarb live as they're cooking burgers, and heard of their one-on-one process. And they are both willing to honor what the employee is doing well, and they just believe so much that this is for their benefit. They share radical candor and feedback of areas for improvement, because it's tied to everyone's bonus. It's the KPIs are tied to customer success. And we know if the customer's happy, you're going to have a more profitable and successful store. And so they don't hold it back, but they do it in such a positive way and for their development. I saw Sarb and Parjeet do many of these steps so well, including adding their ideas and their radical candor. So I share that example for several reasons. One, they show empathy for people's situation. They catch people doing things right, but they also are not afraid to always give specific feedback on how they can improve, because they have such clear KPIs. It's clear when the team is winning or losing, and it's tied to bonus. And so they're highly motivated, and they do it in such a positive way. So this isn't just about, okay, let's do whatever the employee wants. I'm adding these non-directive tools to build ownership, like asking good open-ended questions in step three. But there is a place for your radical candor as well, and some directive. I just like asking for permission for it, contracting, because the ownership's on them to improve their KPI, their goal, not you. And so by asking, hey, do you mind if I share a few ideas I've seen or I've had or things I've witnessed for areas of improvement in this area? And then you can share your radical candor or the other ideas you've seen in other stores or other shops or other areas. So anyhow, that's a little bit about how to blend a non-directive and a directive coaching style to still leave ownership and development with the employee. And then the fifth step is finally, let's action plan. And this is where, as a coach, they've come up with ideas through your questions. You've come up with, you've seeded the room and given some ideas as well. And this is your chance to, and I would always start with the question, what are you prepared to work on? And those of you that are listening that I coach personally, you know, this is how I end each session. We've talked about a whole bunch of ideas. I've shared some, you've shared some. What are you ready and willing and able, have the capacity now to start working on? And some people pick two or three, four. Some people pick one because of where they're at. Now, that doesn't mean as a leader that if you might not be able to add your ideas, hey, I know you're willing to start committing on this. Could you also think about starting on tracking this leading KPI to help you solve that? Even if they haven't come up with it, and that's within your right as a leader to also add. So you've done a non-directive ask. And now if you feel it's important, if they've missed a really critical part, you can add a directive action there too. So it's a nice blend of both, right? You've got their ideas, your ideas, two commitments on the board, one from you, one from, or one you suggested, one they suggested. And then I always like asking them, or I think the best practice is allowing them to set the date, particularly if you've added some of the actions there. Let's say they've got three actions out of this call to improve their KPI or their key risk worry area. And when do you think you could have these done by? Oh, next business review or next one-on-one or next Wednesday. And if that's agreeable to you, great. It's their idea. They'll work on it. Try not to make it over a weekend thing. I know everybody has different feelings on that, but gosh, if you don't want your folks to burn out, yes, we honor hard work. We also honor working smart and on purpose. We're trying to help the whole organization and individuals accomplish their goals in less time and less stress. So contract with them. When do you think is a good time that we should have these actions done by? And if there's a real urgency, if there's a regulatory or a safety reason to to increase the timeline, and they say next Wednesday, you might contract for one of them to say, is it possible? What resources would you need from me or the team to get this done by, you know, Monday close of business instead? Because I feel some real urgency to get this in for the budget. As long as you kind of open it up, and if they're short on resources or help needed. Wow, what does that say? A, there's some urgency in it, but B, you're willing to help them or who in your team could you delegate this to get it started if you're bottlenecked or overworked right now? So lots of options to allow ownership and development to check their critical thinking and how they view the problem. It's very powerful. Don't you love when a coach or a leader asks you and pulls out these great ideas out of you? You own it, you believe in it, you're going to work hard on it, you're going to make them successful. And then I've also shared a couple of tips and tricks to make sure that you're being a compassionate and a leader of empathy, still charging the hill, still wanting excellence, but honoring their improvement, allowing them to set the agenda, come up with some of the actions, set the timelines if it's appropriate. But you as a leader still can offer radical candor. You can still offer urgency and striving for excellence. So I hope you get the sense out of this of a nice balance between directive and non-directive, of allowing ownership and critical thinking to come out of your employee, and then also adding your radical candor, feedback, thoughts, and coming up with the best plan possible for, because everyone wants to be successful. That's a fundamental underlying belief, isn't it? And so if you use the right approach, an honoring approach, a compassionate approach, an empathetic approach to how busy they are, particularly in the organizations I'm growing, coaching right now, these are growing, fast growing, a little bit under-resourced, high growth curve. And so you have to both challenge and accelerate their learning and growth and goal accomplishment, at the same time honor and show some compassion and empathy for how busy they are and how many priorities they do have. So hopefully we've struck the right balance in that, into finding effective one-on-ones. Anyhow, hopefully that was helpful for you. For those listening on podcast, if you want this deck, just email me and I can get that to you. It's been great spending a few minutes with you. All the best. Have a great week. Cheers. Bye.